The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the website, federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. We do this every week, ladies and gentlemen. We wrap up and look back at the Washington Redskins, our previous game, look forward to the future, and very interested to see what Kevin has to say today. Redskins fall 31-23 at the Arizona Cardinals.
Ruining our prediction of 12-4, right?
You know, yeah, just... well, we had adjusted it a couple times this season.
Yeah. We are flexible if nothing else.
Right. 6-5-1 is the record. 2-3-1.
6-5-1.
Yeah, nothing just screams like average. You know what I mean?
6-5-1.
It's one thing. Here's the thing. It's one thing to be 6-6 and be average, right? After 12. 6-6. Now, I don't want to even get into this team's better than the record, because I do believe they're better than the record, but you are what you are. You know what I mean? And so I don't want to do the whole, this team's better than the record with this play and that play and this game. No, the 6-5-1. And the only thing more average than 6-5 than 6-6 is to be 6-5-1, because that one has a tie. So actually tie a game.
Yeah.
That's just so average. You know? So 6-5-1 after 31-23 loss at the Arizona Cardinals coming.
Well, it's like this. It's like this. This team is pretty much where they should be, because this team didn't do a whole lot since last year, where, you know, due to a down season in the NFC East, emerged victorious as the NFC, NFC East champions,
well,
right?
See, and that's a great point, because if this were last year in the NFC East, they'd probably be in first place right now with
exactly,
the 6-5-1
exactly,
record.
Exactly.
Right.
So I guess they figure they stay the course. And in fairness, let's look at this. In fairness, they did go out and address a need, which was the secondary in obtaining a free agent, Josh Norman, which, you know, a free agent is like rolling the dice, man. You know, you'll get what you get.
Right.
You know, and so far, I would say that it has not been a bad investment, whether it has done what they would hope it did, you know, would do for this team.
Right.
That remains to be seen, because it's not just a 1 year thing. It's not like baseball. We rent a player for a season. No. but getting back to this particular game, I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised, because the Cardinals have a great defense. They're having a bad season for whatever reason. Maybe the age of Carson Palmer.
Yeah, Carson Palmer, by the way, who was lights out last year and the year before, if I'm not mistaken, somehow seems to not be able to play quarterback this year.
Really?
At all for this team.
And that was the only thing really that was keeping us in this game, right? The fact that Carson Palmer, texted a friend, Rodney, and said, the only reason we're in this is because Carson Palmer's a bum.
Right?
You know? It took, you know, old, when you get old, now, I'm not saying I'm old. I've been around old people, but I know it takes you longer.
I see what happens when you get old.
It takes you longer to warm up, you know. It just takes longer for the juices, the blood to start flowing, right? So maybe that's the case with Carson Palmer. It's taking him 12 games
to get warmed up. Now, speaking of taking a while to get warmed up, one of the reasons why I totally agree that, while not surprised, definitely disappointed, because I felt like when you saw the Redskins game against the Cowboys, that 31-26, you saw what I felt was like a resemblance of offense, right? And remember, it was off the heels of that 42-24 beatdown of the Packers at home, right? And then the 26-20 win over the Vikings. The offense seemed to be picking up steam. And then the team itself, you expect the defense to get, you know, ran over. Look, the defense is going to give up points. That's what the defense just isn't all that great. And the team came out flat. After this Cowboys loss, I felt like the sense of urgency, hey, if we want to make a push or solidify this wild card, you know, because the Cowboys kind of separated themselves. The East, probably not realistic, but a wild card, right? And so you figure that there'd be some fire in the belly. You know, that there'd be some rah-rah going on. You would figure that the passion coach, you know, out of the 56 coaches that are on this team, the passion coach,
would
step up and say, guys, it's my time to shine. It's time for me to to inspire you to want to win this game. And it came out flat. There was no urgency to have to win this game.
You know, I agree with you somewhat, but I think it goes beyond that, man. I think that they might not have come out flat. But the fact is, the Cardinals got the ball. You have those stats on that opening drive. And see, here's the beautiful thing about it. I analyzed that, and I have a way they could have stopped that. But let me know the stats of that opening drive.
I'm laughing.
Because the stats, man.
You've been saying this all year.
Yeah.
So
let me know the stats, man.
The opening drive for the Cardinals. The Cardinals got the ball first.
Opening drive. Yep.
15 plays. 75 yards. 8 minutes and 17 seconds off the clock.
15 plays, 75 yards, 8 minutes and some change off the clock. Now, see, that's great for the Cardinals, but see, I have a way we could have stopped all that. See, the Burgundy and Gold won the toss. They won the coin toss. They could have stopped that drive by taking the ball.
Anyone who's listened to this show all year has heard Kevin say this week after week after week. And not only that, but I get, now I find that, because I'm one who would defer, but I get where you're coming from with that, because if you know your defense has a hard time getting teams off the field, why would you put your defense on the... Because not only that, it gives the other team the momentum, but then you automatically are playing from behind.
Automatically.
Teams are going to score first on Washington if they kick the ball. I mean, Dallas did it. It happened again here. It's going to happen unless you run into a bad offense like Minnesota. Right. No, I think Minnesota scored on their first drive.
Probably.
But this is what happens, and then you get behind early, and now you're trying to catch up.
You know, if your offense is your best weapon, if that's the best part of your team, why not put that on the field? Put your best out there and deal with it. This nonsense about, we might get the ball in the second half. No, you're giving the team an opportunity to score. And because the Cardinals kept the ball from 8 minutes and some change, the offense might have been pumped up when they came out. But we don't know because they stood on the sideline for 8 minutes and some change.
Great
this
point.
This is ridiculous.
I can see the point, but especially in the case with this team, because I was one the whole year argued against you as far as receiving the ball. Like, no, defer. But you have a great point. Like, if you can't, if your defense is the weak link, and it's almost with, you know, with certainty, we can project that the opposite team's going to score if they get the ball first.
Right.
Or whenever they get the ball, they're going to score because the defense has a problem getting folks off the field. We're actually shocked when there's a three and out.
You know,
get the ball first, put some points on the board, because we know this offense can score. Put some points on the board and then make the other team have to play behind.
That's right. And by making them have to play catch up, it's possible that you eliminate one of the Cardinals' weapons, which is the running game, right? But if you give them the ball at home with the opportunity just to dink and dunk and do what an experienced quarterback can do. Carson Palmer isn't the best quarterback in the world, but he has experience. And I've always said the thing about this Joe Barry defense is that you know what they're doing, right? An experienced quarterback. Aaron Rodgers had a bad game, right? Mm-hmm. But to just give them the ball and say, okay, do what you will.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
And the
Redskins ridiculous.
Not able to score at all in the first quarter. And here's what's interesting.
Because they had the ball. Oh, no, excuse me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Unable to score in the first quarter, but did score two field goals in the second quarter. It is an interesting thing. Again, the red zone woes continue for the Redskins. Unable to put the ball in the end zone. There was one red zone possession where the play call was a fade to DeSean Jackson while Peterson's on him. And I don't understand why you would ever throw a fade to DeSean Jackson that close in the end zone. I mean, he doesn't necessarily have the height advantage on most people. Why not go to Pierre Garçon? He's the physical guy. And here's one thing I like about Pierre. He catches the ball. I forget which quarter this was. He catches the ball. He runs, makes a guy miss. He gets out of bounds. And the ref gives him a horrible spot. He refuses to give the ref the ball until he moves up. He's like, no, I'm down right here. He points where he's at. And I mean, that's the kind of motivation attitude you want to see. Why not give that guy the ball on that fade route? I'm not understanding why I go to DeSean Jackson.
You can call that from error on Sean McVay's part, but you got to look at the quarterback, too. The quarterback can change the play, right? Mm-hmm, all that stuff that they're doing now when they're tapping the players on the back and going and speaking to each one of them individually. He might just say, hey, we're not running this. This is crazy. We're going to like a quarterback draw or something. You know, he can change the play. So the thing about it is we're kind of wasting our breath here because the people who listen to this show are intelligent, right? They're intelligent because they listen to the show, right? You know, so but the people who need to hear this, they need to stop the stuff about pay Kurt what he's worth and all that. You got A, you got a lot of holes in this team you got to fill. You can't afford
right.
to give your quarterback all your salary cap money.
And
B, it's really worth it. He's had a fantastic game against a Green Bay team that had given up over 30 points in three games straight.
Right.
They did well against a Cowboys team who's starting at least second string personnel in their secondary,
right?
And still lost. Couldn't beat them, right? You know? So we understand that he's the golden boy and all that. We know what we want him to be. I think maybe Captain Kirk should go to the coach at the beginning of the game and say, hey, coach, I want the ball.
You know,
don't get the ball in defense. I want the ball.
Right.
If you all that, if you're the captain, you're the leader, ask for the ball. Don't ask for it, demand it.
Kirk Cousins, by the way, 21 of 37, 271 yards, one touchdown, one pick, that pick coming late. And, what's interesting is, like, when you talk about Kirk Cousins and when we're talking about worth and value and things like that, understand that, you know, Kirk's going to have to be paid top dollar no matter where he goes, whether the team re-signs him, whether he's franchised, or whether he goes somewhere else. And like you said, there's other gaping holes. The question will he solve the issues, him alone, that this team seems to have? And I don't think so. I think most of the issues are on defense. Would you rather? And here we go playing the guessing game. And again, the team's still in the playoffs. I don't know why we're talking about offseason stuff.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: like, would you rather sign Pierre Garçon back, DeSean Jackson back? You still have Crowder, who's been having a great year. Jordan Reed's going to give you, you know, at least eight games.
And then
you've got Dotson, who hasn't played all year long, and then try to find another quarterback or at least a average veteran or maybe a above average veteran who may be a salary cap issue, and then use Kurt's money to address the defense. Dallas has won 11 games with a rookie. And so if you give someone these weapons, will they be able to even match or even exceed Kirk Cousins' production? You know, I'm actually led to believe probably so. And look, as much as folks love Kirk, and I was actually one who was pushing for him, like, I'm not sure that I see this much outside of being able to stay healthy. I'm not sure if I see more production than you would have probably gotten from RG3, to be honest with you. I mean, yes, Kurt won the division and went to a playoff in a bad year. RG3 won the division and went to the playoffs in 2012. Mechanics bad and all that other kind of stuff and not being able to stay healthy. But have we really seen much more production from one than the other? Do we really see a big difference?
You know, man, I didn't believe all that stuff about the bad mechanics or going to a bad mechanic or whatever it was they were saying about him. This was his man's choice. Captain Kirk was Gruden's choice. This is my guy here because pretty much, like, he'll pretty much do whatever I say do. This is my guy here. And he's had a great year. He's earned the accolades. I don't know, you know, with the league being what it is now in terms of what they're paying these guys, he's earned to be up there in that top. I mean, he has earned the right to be paid the same thing as guys who have not led their team to the playoffs, right? You know? So that's the thing. But the business aspect of it, there's some serious things that they got to address here to be a contender. Sure, a great quarterback makes them competitive. A good quarterback makes them competitive.
Right.
I mean, look at Matthew Stafford. Is this a Hall of Fame guy?
Right.
But they're leading the NFC North right now, you know? What Carr is doing in Oakland, right? You know, that's a team that has been, like, used to losing and things like that, right? Yeah. So it's not all on Kirk's shoulders, right? But it's the positions they put him in, the decisions they make, the plays they call, the position they put the whole team in. Now, I heard these rumors that after the game, Jay Gruden went and just
chewed
the team out, right? You know, I think I got a little bit of audio about this. Let's see, is this Jay? I think so.
There's times for falling apart. There's times for getting funky. This is one of those funky times. So what's it going to be?
Yeah, right. So that was surprising coming from Jay, right? You know, but they didn't say anything about the coaching. They didn't say anything about the positions we put these guys in.
That's right. Especially in Dallas. I mean, we saw a lot of bad coaching in that Thanksgiving game. I totally get it. Like you're saying, you know, you're not sure whether the passion was there. I just felt like there should have been. I mean, there's this urgency after the loss, and there's, what, four more games left on the schedule. We got to make this happen now. Yeah, it should have been last week, I felt like.
Right.
Like, after the Dallas loss, it's like, okay, now we've got to get on board with this stuff. It's a little too late. Who knows? By the way, just got an alert. Roster move by the Redskins. They waive cornerback DeShawn Phillips. That's just some late breaking news for.
Well, why? What did he do wrong?
Watching people get beat.
Yeah, really. He must have got in the way when they were trying to call the play and said, no, don't run that. Run this. Cover the guy deep in the middle of the field. Don't, you know, what?
Yeah, who knows? So anyway, it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Redskins called it 6-5-1 after 31-23 loss to the Arizona Cardinals.
You know, I'm not being very analytical here, man. I'm just being more impassioned as a fan.
But see, here's the thing, though. Right? No, but here's the thing. Like, you know, for as much as you want to believe, you know, that there's a playoff push, we'll get three teams from the East in the playoffs. This was a statement game. Not in the fact that you're just head and shoulders above or better than the Cardinals, because the Cardinals, disappointing season, more so because of the way Carson Palmer's playing. But they have a really good defense.
Very good.
Great defense. And so it's not, you know, just a kind of an easy cakewalk, easy W, right? But I feel like it was an important game because if you're going to be a playoff team, and if you're going to be serious, this was a game that you go on the road and you beat this team because, truth be told, you're better than them, you know, or at least should be. I mean, if you are who we thought we were, if that makes any sense. And so it's like this is a game you go on the road, you make a statement, and you beat the Cardinals. They're a team that has had a bad season compared to their standards. Despite the loss at Dallas, but you saw the two wins before that. You're on the upward trail. You're in the playoffs. You've got that final wild card spot. You put your stamp on it, and you beat these Cardinals in Arizona, and they didn't get the job done.
You know, I think, though, that it could have been a case of them also looking at the Cardinals' record, because the Cardinals were very competitive in the NFC Championship game last year.
Yeah.
Was it the championship or the last round? Yeah. They stood toe as much as they could with the Panthers last year, mm-hmm. and they're having a down year. Now, Bruce Arians had pretty much put his team on blast earlier this week, talking about the lack of effort and things. And this is a team that trusts this coach because this coach has taken them places, right? Mm-hmm. So you if you expected anything other than the Cardinals' best effort on this game, then you know you were sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
And you saw a perfect example when they had some offensive line issues, the Burgundy and Gold did, and they had to bring in some substitute. The Cardinals started rubbing their hands together in terms of the Broadway musical that not only brought the noise, they brought the funk too, right? You know, and the Berkeley Eagle could not handle it. And we saw what happened under a little bit of pressure. The thing that we've always said about Kirk was he has a knack of finding the open man. Mm-hmm. And I guess you got to add that caveat when he has time to do it.
No, absolutely. And let's not forget, I mean, games against even the Vikings, Packers, and Cowboys, he had all day to throw that ball. The Cowboys could not get any pressure on him. The Packers, goodness gracious, couldn't get any pressure on him. He was hurried a little bit against these guys.
Yeah, even the deep pass to DeSean Jackson, that was a beautiful blitz pickup by whoever happened to be in the game at the time. Because you can't tell if I'm a defensive coordinator and I see Chris Thompson in the backfield mm-hmm. on a passing down or mm-hmm. a long yardage situation.
It's on.
Like, you can go out on your route if you want to, but I'm coming right up the middle. Now, you have a decision to make. You can protect your quarterback mm-hmm. or you can catch a pass and pad your stats, right? And he tried on that fumble. Chris Thompson was trying mm-hmm. to pick up a blitz, but mm-hmm. he weighs like 103 pounds, right? He can't do
he
it.
He can't
right?
do it.
Physical limitations. But you as a coach, you ought to know that. Don't put him back there in pass protection if you know he can't do it.
He can't do it. No, that's a great point. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield.
Kevin Stanfield. Hey,
very excited. Had a lot to say today on the Federal Football Report. Coming up on the next segment, we'll talk a little bit more about the Redskins offense. I want to talk about this lack of running game. You know, we'll talk about it when we get back, but I just don't buy into the fact that we didn't think it wasn't working. You don't know if it's not working or not with just 14 carries for a guy like Robert Kelly.
You know how you can figure it out? When you get the coin toss, take the ball and run the ball. Start there.
Establish the pace. We're going to establish the pace coming back on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield, dissecting in emotional ways this loss of the Arizona Cardinals. 31-23 in Arizona yesterday. The Redskins fall to 6-5-1 on the season. The Cardinals, by the way, 5-6-1, both teams. Basically average with the tie.
Not far apart.
Records. And so I want to talk a little bit about this lack of a running game. And it seems like we've talked about this a lot. And maybe what I should do this week is go back and look at Cincinnati's run averages per game, at least carries per game, when Gruden was coaching there with their offense, because he doesn't seem interested at all in running the ball. This team was never really in a position all game long where they had to abandon the run. We're not talking about at any point in this game where you're down 17 points in the third quarter or anything like that. For Rob Kelly, who, by the way, effective yesterday, 14 carries, 63 yards. That's 4.5 yards a carry. Mm. That's being effective. You take 4.5 a pop if you can, right?
Right, right.
That's a first down. You know what I mean? 3 carries, you get the first down. 4.5 a pop. So you take that, but they just won't run the ball more. I'm trying to figure out, you know, in a game where he's that effective and it's that close, why is Kurt throwing the ball 37 times?
Well, see, unfortunately, 37 times is not a lot for him, and it's because...
Given the fact that he threw the ball, what, 51 times against Dallas?
Really, you know, it's running the ball is a mindset, man. It's not just like an offensive game plan. It's the notion that you are going to physically impose your will on the guy across from you, right? Because the offensive line has to move people out of the way for you to be effective in the run game, right? So they have to have that confidence that they can actually do that, right? Yeah. They got to believe that they can beat that guy in front of them, no matter who he is. And because they are so pass happy, the offensive linemen spend most of their game time, mm-hmm. backing up,
forming a pocket. Yeah. And what's interesting, though, is that even when there were injuries on the offensive line and you had to bring in a backup, you would assume that's a perfect time to, again, just run the ball to get him in the game. They drop back and do a pass. The next thing you know, it's a sack fumble. Like, and it wasn't his fault. I mean, it wasn't his fault that happened, because he wasn't beat by his man.
No.
But at the same time, you bring him in, you know the Cardinals are going to blitz. You, like you said, they're rubbing their hands together, licking their chops to try to get the quarterback. Why not then try to establish the run when you just suffered an injury on the offensive line? Just run the ball. Rob Kelly is being effective. You sent Alfred Morris away because Matt Jones is the guy. Then 7 weeks in, you bench him because Fat Rob's the guy. But then you won't run Fat Rob. What's the problem?
Oh, he's going out for the most stupidest man in the world. Yeah, because see what you're doing, the things you're saying make sense. That's the problem. They make absolute sense, right? And it's a mindset. Back in Cincinnati when he was the offensive coordinator, they had decent running backs. They had a Cedric Benson and I can't remember because they wouldn't even play. They played so many of them, right? Right. None of them were of any consequence, right? But when it got down to crunch time, the offense was just one-dimensional. It was just so easy to stop. So when he came here, I didn't expect anything more than that, right? You know, and he had convinced the people that that's the head coach we're talking about, by the way. I don't mean to use the impersonal pronoun he, but yeah, the head coach, right? He had convinced people that his offense would work, you know, and you know, I guess it does work on paper, right? And the quarterback is productive and they had some key, they had some good moments. I mean, a couple of those blitzes they picked up, and Kelly had some good runs. It was a blitz that they picked up on the long pass to DeSean Jackson, a blitz they picked up on the touchdown to Jamison Crowder. But it's not enough when the other team is scoring more points than you are, right? You know, if you determine you're going to every game as a shootout, you know, it's sort of a lost cause right then. You know, the philosophy has to change.
That's the thing, because so many people say, you know, well, you got to run the ball. We're going to run the ball because you got to keep the defense honest. No. Like, that's ridiculous to me, because it doesn't keep the defense honest if they know eventually you're going to ditch the run and you're not going to run the ball that much. Even if it's successful, like, yeah, they have success now, but eventually they're going to ditch the run. So we don't have to worry about this too much. And they're not going to fall for play action if you're not running the ball. Like, we say this all the time. And sometimes we're watching the game, I'm texting you or texting some other Skins fans, the guys that are not watching the ball. Like, this would be a perfect play for play action pass, go deep to DeSean or hit Garcon over the middle. And it just doesn't happen because they haven't been running the ball.
Yeah.
And that play action fake is not going to work if the defense doesn't think you're going to run. If they believe they can stop you with just the average 4 to 5 man front, because and even if they don't and you have success, you're not going to continue running the ball. Eventually they'll stop and start passing the ball all over the place.
And the Cardinals just didn't seem to care yesterday. They were coming. Yeah. They said, we're going to come. Kurt, you want to...
Now, the Cardinals, by the way, look like two different teams. They look like the defense. It seemed like you were playing, you know, one of the better teams in the NFL. Then the offense gets on and it just looked like they just can't even move the ball. Yeah, if it wasn't for that fumble, I mean, you know, we're talking about a totally different game, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, and it was interesting that it seemed like, from what, and I've rarely listened to the announcers, but one of the rare cases I had the volume up is like Carson Palmer had lost so much confidence in his receivers, except for Larry Fitzgerald and Johnson, right? You
right,
know, David
right.
Johnson, and it seems like he found it again yesterday. Everybody like redeemed themselves, and it was like a family reunion for the Cardinals. There was a coming together at the expense of the Burgundy and Gold. And
Jermaine Gresham, by the way, stepped up big time because he had been missing for a while. But then he got 5 catches for 2 yards yesterday. Fitzgerald 10 catches, 78. David Johnson 9 for 91 in that touchdown.
Yeah, it's. The Burgundy and Gold is good for what ails you if you're in the opposing team, right? You know, because except for the Packers game where they beat up on some woeful Packers, this team has had, you know, they've demonstrated offensive firepower, but you just asked a question early in the season, and I thought about this last night. Who is this team?
Right. What's the identity?
What is the identity of this team, right? When people hear that the Burgundy and Gold are coming to town, do they spend like a couple of extra nights in game preparation because they say, oh no, we're going to have to bring our A game to beat these guys? Mm-hmm. Or do they just say, okay, we'll just be ourselves and let the team take care of ourselves? Mm-hmm. I think that they were trying. I think that once Joe Barry started midseason, started dialing up a few more blitzes, they looked a lot more aggressive and things. But all it did actually was give teams a chance to see what they look like when they're going to blitz, right? You know, now they can prep for it, and boom, and it's ready to go, right? And the beautiful thing about, and I'm not sure, you know, I bleed Burgundy and Gold, but
right.
The beautiful thing what Carson Palmer did is, he used his passing game as a running game. So, in fact, he had 2 running backs, right?
Right.
A 3-yard completion was still a completion.
And they did a lot of receiver bubble screens. They did a lot of quick slants and hitches to kind of get that quick 4 yards, 3 yards. Yeah.
They controlled the ball. They controlled the tempo of the game as much as they could. And then they said, okay, well, if this doesn't work out, we got a defense that got something for you.
I wish we had a receiver who could be that kind of possession. Oh, wait, Pierre Garçon.
He could be. But that's, you know, they're too busy trying to confuse people by spreading the ball around, so just hitting the open guy, right? You know, Larry Fitzgerald caught 10 passes, and you knew they were going to throw to him. He caught 10 passes.
Right, right.
You know, go with the hot hand, man. You know, of those 26 coaches, and, you know, the want-to coach who probably couldn't make the flight to Arizona, somebody got to say to Jay, hey, Jay, look, we got to get simple with this thing. We got to make it basic, right? You know?
Yeah.
And I blame Jay. Look at the number of false starts we had in the first
series.
That's
another, I'm surprised, speaking of false starts, I'm surprised it took us that long to bring this up. There were so many false starts in that first series and in the first half altogether. That, again, is the reason why I was thinking, are they ready to play? And here's the thing, as a coach, yeah, you can give all the rah-rah speeches all you want to because we just didn't come out ready, and that's not Redskin football, and blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, whose job is it to get the guys ready to play? Your job.
That's why is he there if he's not getting ready to play?
Right.
You know, what are you doing? I mean, Sean McVay has called the office.
Yeah, that's like me blaming my 4-year-old. How come he didn't eat dinner tonight? It's kind of my job to make sure he eats.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So it's sort of mind boggling, right? You know, and I had an opportunity on the way to the studio to listen to some of the other, other shows, and they're doing the same typical stuff. They're hitting, Deshaun Jackson is a problem, right? Deshaun had a tweet and said, I'd love to, like, help my team out. I can take the top off of defense. I just wish I had more opportunities, right? You know, all of a sudden, he's a malcontent, right? You know, right? You know, he's not running up to the coach or the GM going, how you like me now? You know? Right, you know, I listen to these guys and then they would talk about how bad the guys are, how unintelligent they are, and you know, how David Johnson just ran over, which he did, but they're not addressing the issues. Who's the cake tastes bad, who's cooking the cake, right? You know? Come on, y'all.
No, that's a great point. By the way, looking at the NFC playoff standings right now, you've got
playoffs.
right now.
I wish I had that. Yeah.
This time yesterday, the Redskins were in it, but you've got the Cowboys as NFC East leaders, the Lions as North leaders, Falcons as South leaders, Seattle, they're your division winners there. And then the wild card, if it were to start today, would go to the Giants, who are at 8-4, and they play Dallas next week. And so that could kind of mix some things up. And the Buccaneers, who are 7-5. By the way, the Tampa Bay plays the Cowboys a little later on in the season as well. And so there's a couple things. I mean, some teams who are in the playoffs who have to play each other. And the Redskins play the Giants coming up on January 1st. So there are some teams, and these things usually, of course, shake itself out because unlike the college football season, it's not left up to a committee. You look at the standings, and right. You know, that top six kind of gets into the playoffs. So anyway.
Well, maybe that's what they think is happening. Maybe they think if
we have bad losses, that may count more than an ugly win.
Yeah. So, you know, so we got to run up the score on Happens Green Bay just to, you know, get the committee's strength of schedule and so on and so forth, right? Not, oh, man, what is happening here?
Yeah. So, anyway, the last four games, by the way, let's take a look at this, and then we'll take a break and come back for the final segment. You've got the Eagles in Philadelphia. Who just dropped a game, by the way, this past Sunday to the Bengals. The Panthers. You know, when the season started, when we saw there would be Skins Panthers December 19th, 8:30 primetime, thought that would be such a great game. It might be just what the Redskins need. Panthers having a horrible season. But, by the way, this could be similar to the Cardinals game.
That's what I'm looking at.
When you're looking at the schedule and you're thinking, or you look at the standings, thinking that, hey, this is a team that we could beat up on simply because they have a bad record. Their losing record is different from the losing record the Bears have. The Bears are a bad team. Panthers are a good team. They can't find a way to win for some reason. They're having a bad year, similar to what the Cardinals are going through. And so they follow up that home game against the Panthers with a Christmas Eve game against the Bears. Christmas Eve, by the way, is Saturday. Christmas is on a Sunday.
Right.
And then New Year's Day game, New Year's Sunday against the Giants to close out the season. Could have some playoff implications.
I think, I'm not sure, I have to look at the schedule. I think the league scheduled most of the games for Christmas Eve. I think there might be one Christmas Day game. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. We'll check
it out. But going back to the Panthers for a minute, we're going to have to arrange for our special inside correspondent to maybe come and join us.
Right.
Understand that there was a little turmoil because the coach decided that Cam violated the dress code by wearing a turtleneck and blazer on the team playing, and that violated, and so he had to be benched for it. I mean, and you know, I didn't know that the Carolina Panthers high school team has a stringent rule.
Wasn't
right?
that but, weird? Like, yeah. Here's the thing. Cam Newton, by most people's standards, always dress up. He's got that whole weird fashion thing. You know what I mean?
Right,
how they dress weird and it's supposed to be fashionable nowadays.
Right.
Like Russell Westbrook does it a lot in the NBA. You know, they dress up all kind of weird ways and then it's like fashionable. Like, what's up with that? Like, okay, he still had a blazer on and a turtleneck. We're not going to, there's obviously something more there than just that. Like, maybe there's other, if you want to give Ron Rivera the benefit of the doubt, maybe there's other discipline issues with Cam, or maybe he's just taking out this bad season on Cam. But one way or the other, it's kind of weird.
Well, you saw what happened, right? He was out for one play. Derek Harrison threw a pick. Right. Okay, Cam, you're looking good. Yeah. Go back in the game.
Like, if you're Cam Newton, how justified do you feel with that? Like, how do you, why not just go right up to the coach and say, how you like me now? Is a tie really that important where you put Derek in there and he'll throw an interception in the first?
Apparently it is, right? You know, I don't know what message he thought he was sending, right? But I think that the messenger sort of subverted the message there because it what you did hurt your team.
Right.
What you did.
You know what was interesting is that, of course, like you said, a lot of these talk shows, sports shows, unlike this one, we just deal with the facts and stuff.
Right.
But we're a lot of speculation as to is Cam actually liked in the Carolina Panthers locker room? And then they were, well, when you pay attention, when he was getting those hits to the head, none of his teammates actually went up to his defense and like helped him up or hit any of the players or pushed the other guys around. They just kind of stood there and let it happen. And no one like went on camera and came to his defense against the league and blah, 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 blah. And so now apparently he's not liked in Carolina. Yeah.
Well, you know, we had a quarterback in this town that apparently much the same thing happened, right? That's why he was getting sacked, right? Because the offensive lineman didn't like him, and then they went and being drafted the offensive lineman first round, right? You know, don't believe the hype. That's why, like you said, listen to this show. Don't believe these guys are saying, right? Because we're truth driven,
right?
Whatever the other shows, you know, I don't know what their motivation
what
is,
these guys
but we're truth given, truth driven, and I don't let Carolina come here thinking that they got something to prove or make this an ego thing. Plus, they're visiting their friend Josh Norman, right? Mm-hmm. You know, don't let that happen. That has the makings of a very, very dangerous game. I mean, we just lost against the Cardinals. This could get ugly.
Mm-hmm.
This could get ugly, right? If they don't watch out.
Cam's still the quarterback. They still play tough ball. Coming up next. Oh, yeah. But, you know, by the way, you were right. So there's a Thursday night game on the 22nd. Mm-hmm. Christmas Eve, that Saturday, there are a ton of games. Most of the games are, on that day. Then, of course, you've got Sunday. There's two Christmas Day games, Ravens at Pittsburgh. Which should be a really good game.
Yes.
It's going to have some playoff implications. And then the 8:30 game will be the Broncos at Kansas City, which, again, will have some playoff implications. And then the 26th, that Monday, there's the Detroit Lions at the Dallas Cowboys. Coming up next on the Federal Football Report, we'll take another look at the Redskins' loss. We'll wrap up some thoughts there, and we'll look ahead down the schedule.
Maybe we'll see what happened to Jordan Reed, how he's feeling, man. You know, maybe get a one-armed Jordan Reed to come out and help him out. But you know what? I got some thoughts on that, too.
So we'll talk about that coming up next on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. It's the final segment of the Federal Football Report for week, 13 of the NFL, a 31-23 loss at the hands of the Arizona Cardinals. The Redskins now 6-5-1, Cardinals 5-6-1, Redskins had the final playoff wild card spot, but the season's not over. There's still four more games. Yeah, we have to do all these projections and things like that. And so
right now,
Tampa Bay and the Giants have the final wild card spot. Giants still have games against the Cowboys coming up, still has a game against the Redskins. So some things are going to work themselves out, and we'll see where we stand at the at the end of the season. We'll just see what happens.
Didn't you hope after last year that we wouldn't be in this spot where we were trying to figure out, you know, if so-and-so loses to so-and-so, and then if they tie, and then so-and-so beats so-and-so, and then somebody else beats somebody else. You know, we had it right here in our hands, right? All we had to do was win. That's all we had to do, right? So I don't see the progress coming with this team that we had hoped for a couple of seasons. Is a Federal Football Report ago. You know,
With if you win and you look at the schedule, and again, we try not to do these, you know, projections, but yeah, we're a sports talk show. So
when
you look at these last four, at home against the Eagles, on the road against on the road against Philadelphia, at home against Carolina, on the road against Chicago, at home against the Giants, you can make a case, you know, given what you saw against the Packers, given what you saw against the Vikings and what you saw against the Cowboys, even though it was a loss, that they could win three out of those last four. You know what I mean? You could make an argument for three out of the last four. Dare I say four out the last four? But let's just say three out the last four, being optimistic. That puts you at 9-6-1. That still determines on what a lot of other teams do. Tampa Bay, those guys, but you do have somewhat of your own destiny in your head. You still gotta win.
Right.
You know what I mean? No matter what anyone else does, no matter what you're hoping Tampa Bay does or the Giants can do, or maybe this team lose, it means nothing if you don't win. So the best path forward is forget what everybody else does. And, you know, we talk about one game at a time is a cliche, but you got to win these. You got to win at least three out the next four to give yourself a shot. If you win out, I think you're probably going to make it. But you've got to win.
Well, that's
three out the next four.
That's an interesting philosophy, because to do that, you will have to change some of the things you did 5-1 games
to get into this position.
Yeah. You got to change. You got to change some of those things, right? You got to look back and see what did we do wrong. What prevented us from winning? What prevented us from right now at this point being 12-0?
Right, you know? Exactly.
And there was a lot of things.
Run the ball.
Maybe take the ball when you win the toss. So, look. You can't prove them wrong.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Facts are on your side.
Right.
There's some weird things that happened in the NFL this week. And you mind if I talk about a couple of them?
Absolutely. Go
this
right
first
ahead.
One. Did you see the way the ending to this? And there was still some more time left on the clock, but not much. But did you see the end of the Kansas City Atlanta Falcons game?
No.
So weird. Now, mind you, earlier in the game, Matt Ryan throws a pick six to Kansas City. Eric Berry catches it from Atlanta, by the way. And I didn't know he was from Atlanta, but from Atlanta, kind of an emotional game for him because, you know, with the whole cancer treatment and stuff like that, he's been in Atlanta a lot in years past, getting treatment for cancer, fully recovered now, which is wonderful, and had a huge game yesterday. So Matt Ryan throws a pick six to him in the second quarter, interception, runs it back. Now, Atlanta, in the fourth quarter, they're driving down. They score to go up 28-27. Now, it makes sense there, I guess, to go for a two-point conversion because then you'll be up 30-27, 3 points. That way a field goal doesn't lose the game.
Right.
Matt Ryan throws a pick on the 2-point conversion to Eric Berry, and he takes it all the way back for 2 points.
Yeah,
and they end up losing 29-28.
Bizarre.
That's
bizarre.
Goes under the foul. Like, what else could go wrong, yeah. Right?
That's a strange rule. That's the weirdest rule. The only way that that counts, the pick counts, is if he scores, right?
Right.
That's,
yeah.
You know, that's.
And so it's like, well, we'll go for 2 points. What's the worst that could happen? It's not like we're going to turn the ball over and he returns it and gets 2 points. That's exactly what happens.
Exactly.
And they end up losing by 1 point, 29-28.
Wow. That's bizarre. That's bizarre.
Yeah,
I still take
how weird is that?
Yeah, and the Falcons have had a great offensive season. Now, the defense has always been suspect. It's never struck fear in your heart, right? You just figure that Matt Ryan was a serviceable quarterback, and the weapons they had with Devontae Freeman, Julio Jones, and receivers who was always the perennial all-pro who just, like, do the injuries. On the other side, I can't think of his name right now. It used to be for the Falcons. Well, you know, somebody hit us up on Twitter.
Roddy White?
Roddy White. Yeah. Still hit us up on Twitter at FFRep. But, yeah, Roddy White. They've always had the potential to be an offensive powerhouse. And they can be a very dangerous team if they get a home playoff game. So, Burgundy and Gold, you know, watch the film. Watch the film.
Now, what's interesting, too, is that when you throw that pick and you give up 2 points, you know, that score, of course, counts for the opponents, but then you still have to kick the ball off because you score a touchdown.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so you give it, so they get the two, Chiefs get the 2 points from the pick six, and then they get the ball back and they just melt the clock away.
Oh, man, crazy.
The game. Yeah,
crazy.
It's so crazy. So, and actually, Matt Ryan, by the way, under a lot of pressure this season. I didn't know this until I saw a story on it that, you know, a lot of folks are questioning whether or not he's the guy down there. And Matty Ice has been kind of solid for these guys.
Yeah, solid, but just, not to the next level. Not right. to the next level. He's been Flacco-esque, if I could.
Which that by Joe Flacco standards means elite. As far as he's concerned.
Right, right. Well, Joe Flacco has jewelry.
Right.
Matty Ice does not. Right. You know.
Right. No, and then another weird thing, I was just reading Sunday morning, Jeff Fisher signed a 2-year extension with the Rams. I'm like, wait a minute.
Is this Twilight Zone?
Right. It's like, when was the last time Jeff Fisher, you know, had a winning season? And what is it about this guy that the Rams just want to keep him around?
Must be photos negatives of somebody. That's all I can think of.
He's got some dirt on somebody.
I got a safe deposit box, and I know where the key is, right? You know, anything happens to me, it goes public. You know what? I don't understand that. I mean, I can understand going to LA and trying to establish a fan base and not making any immediate change, but to say that this is the way it's going to be for a while, what, you know, what leads you to believe that things are going to get any different?
And I believe this is the most current stat on his record, but he's just 173-163 with one tie as a coach.
Mediocrity.
And that's the thing. And I should have had this ready, but I heard a stat the other day. His win-loss record is way worse when you take away his years with Steve McNair as quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have a winning record without him.
No, it's a shame, right? You know, and you get paid for mediocrity in this league, and I hope we don't find that out.
He either has something on this owner,
yeah.
Or, you know, maybe they just say, hey, he's not the issue. Now, don't forget, you know, it was funny because Dallas kind of stuck with Jason Garrett. To many Cowboy fans, hatred, by the way, stuck with him through a lot of those 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8, just missing the playoffs,
Right, right.
You know, who knows? Maybe they think that he's a great coach. He's got to get the right kind of formula together, but he seems to be not the guy to be. I don't know.
Apparently they see the potential in him, and you know, he has the pictures or is married to somebody. I don't know. Makes no sense when you got so many people out there who need, like, you know, budding young talents like Sean McVay and Joe Barry who need head coaching jobs. Get them out of here. Right.
You know? Interesting. So anyway, let's take a look at the Redskins' next opponent. They go on the road, to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles By the way, five and seven, last place in the NFC East. I don't think that they won't still play hard. Now, don't forget the Eagles started out the season 3-0, looking like world beaters, right?
Yeah,
with Carson Wentz, everything looked to be going.
They destroyed the Pittsburgh Steelers and played a lot of teams very tough.
They beat the Browns 29-10.
Played the Cowboys tough down to the last series.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They beat the Bears and they beat the brakes off the Steelers. They lose to the Lions by 1 point. Close game against the Redskins, lose 27-20. And then again, beat the Vikings. So at some point, they were 4-2 on the season, then lose to the Cowboys, lose to the Giants. They beat the Falcons, but then on a 3-game losing streak, lost to the Seahawks, lost to the Packers, lost to the Bengals this previous game this past week, 32-14, and now they take on the Redskins. What's the formula, Kevin, for the Redskins to win this game coming up against the Eagles?
In Philadelphia.
In Philly.
In Philadelphia, in December.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people...
sound like you need to run the ball.
most of us NFC East historians realize that bad weather will limit your passing game, so you must keep a grip, you must control the ball, keep your defense off the field, and run the ball. That's what most of us NFC East historians would like to see. who knows what we're going to see. Maybe they're so stubborn they say we're going to keep doing this till we get it right. You
we know it works. You just got to click.
Yeah. Which the problem is, I looked for one thing we didn't mention was the absence of Jordan Reed. Now I looked for a strong performance from Vernon Davis, right? You know, because this team was a team that Vernon was familiar with, have you know so many years with the 49ers and all. But he threw to him a couple of times early, and this seemed to go away. And I started feeling bad because I said, well, without Jordan Reed, you know, this offense is doomed. But then I started thinking about this team in New England. You know, as I start thinking, we lose Jordan Reed is big, but it's nowhere near them losing Gronk,
right,
you know.
Right.
And even losing Gronk, they seem to manage okay. You know, what did you tell me the Patriots' record was?
Man, the Patriots 10-2.
And that's after Brady serving the suspension for Deflategate, right?
Right.
You know, and losing Gronk for potentially the season for any average human being, this would be
a season ender. For some of the season, they didn't have Gronk anyway. I think a few of those games without Brady, they didn't have Gronk either.
That's right. So, you know, hey, don't cry for us, Argentina. Yeah, we don't have Jordan Reed, but it's next man up. Remember, I think it was Martellus Bennett, that first game they lost, Gronk caught 3 touchdown passes, right? You know, so it's definitely, you know, next man up.
Mm-hmm.
All the people on this roster should be able to play.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, look, Jordan Reed down, right? But you still have DeSean Jackson. You still have Pierre Garçon. You still have Vernon Davis, who's proved that he still has some stuff left in the tank. You've got Robert Kelly. You've got Jamison Crowder, who's been probably the most electrifying receiver here this season, right?
Right.
You
right,
still
right.
have guys who can get the job done.
Yep.
Get the job done.
Yeah. I think we need to go in and really evaluate, like, the defense. Like, some of the stuff that they were doing earlier, they didn't do it, like, this past game.
Mixed in some man and some zone, which is good, some two-man and some single-high man and some lurk, and did a good job of mixing up the coverages.
Well, yeah, they didn't do that this week, right? You know?
Apparently not.
You know? So, that's your job. That's the coach's job to go in there and tell them all that. Or maybe tell them in a way that they'll understand.
Yeah, they can actually do the job. So, yeah, I think what has to happen against the Eagles is, again, playoff atmosphere, man. I think we talked about this going into the Cowboys game on Thanksgiving. Every game from here on out is a playoff game. Your playoff starts today. Now is the playoffs. Except if you lose, you obviously get another go next week. But now is the playoff. You have to do what you have to do to secure your spot in there. And you lost it this week when you had the last wild card spot. And that's when, like, here's my problem with the urgency now, is that even with the urgency now, it's still not 100% in your control. Have the urgency when it's in your control. And that's the issue that I had with the players not being necessarily seemingly to be ready when it was time to go against the Cardinals.
Yeah, but you got to believe from the top down that you all can do this, can pull this off. You got to believe. You can't be just experimenting with some stuff in the lab and then bring it out to the field and see if it works, man. I am tired of this. I'm tired of the, you know, every game is a bust win, man. We've been doing this ever since the season when Sean Taylor was killed. We had to win every game, the RG3 season, right?
Had to win out, right?
You know, last year, had to win out, right? You know, enough is enough. We need to go to a domination,
right?
You know, and that's a mindset. And that's a mindset that the cheerleaders can't bring, the hot dogs vendor can't bring, the band can't bring, two talented radio hosts such as ourselves can't bring.
Can't bring it.
They can't bring it, right? That's what they're paying these 26 guys for. 26 plus one, if you can't count the wanted coach, right?
Right.
And that's maybe the person that needs to get the raise. They need to get the Jeff Fisher contract.
That's
the
it.
Wanted coach.
That's
the want-to coach.
So next week is the Philadelphia Eagles. The Redskins take on the Eagles, and we'll see how we'll finish the season. Now, four more games left in the season, man. It feels like the season just started a few weeks ago, but just four more games left in it. Eagles, Panthers, Bears, Giants. The future is now, folks. Got to make this thing happen right now. Kevin and I make this happen every week.
You think they should order the Code Red?
yeah. Code Red. Now it's time to get funky on the Federal Football Report. Talk to you guys next week.
There's times for falling apart. There's times for getting funky. This is one of those funky times. So what's it going to be?